InternetCases.com Podcast, April 29th, 2005.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast coming to you in MP3 from Chicago, Illinois, USA. I'm Evan Brown, an attorney, and I'm the author of the weblog found at InternetCases.com. Thanks for tuning in. This week, I'd like to discuss with you a case from the federal court in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania called Rizzo versus PPL Services. You may have read about it in an April 23, 2005 posting on InternetCases.com titled, "Employer Had Legitimate Reason to Fire Employees for Violating Company Email Policy. Court Found No Age-Based Discrimination." As you can tell from the headline, this was an employment discrimination case. Several employees were disciplined by their employer when it was discovered that they were using their work email accounts to send and receive personal messages. This was strictly against company policy, and the most serious offenders were terminated. It turns out that each of the employees that were fired for violating the company email policy were over the age of 40, so they filed suit against the company under the Federal Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967. They were unsuccessful, however, and the matter was dismissed before getting to trial at the summary judgment stage. In an employment discrimination case like this one, where there was no direct evidence that the company was discriminating against the employees, the court applied a burden-shifting analysis to determine whether the matter could survive the employer's motion for summary judgment. This burden-shifting analysis is well known to employment lawyers and was first articulated in the 1973 Supreme Court case of McDonnell Douglas versus Green. Under the McDonnell Douglas analysis, a terminated employee has to present a prima facie case of discrimination. If the employee can do that, the burden then shifts to the employer to show a legitimate, non-discriminatory reason as to why an adverse employment action was taken against the employee. If the employer makes this showing, the burden shifts back to the plaintiff, who then, in order to keep his lawsuit alive, has to show that the reason the employer gave for firing him was invalid. Said another way, the employee has to show that the employer's story is pretextual. In this case, at first it looked like the plaintiffs were doing all right. The court actually determined that the plaintiffs had met their initial burden of showing that they were discriminated against on the basis of their age. After all, they had introduced evidence showing that the company appeared to single out employees over the age of 40 to investigate for improper email usage. And what's more, the only people who were fired as a result of the investigation were over the age of 40. But there was no dispute that the employer had legitimate reason to fire the plaintiffs. They admitted that they knew about the email policy, and they admitted that they had sent and received prohibited messages. They even admitted that some of the messages were adult in nature. So even though they knew they had done wrong, the plaintiffs still tried to argue that the reason for firing them was just a pretext. The court believed otherwise and concluded that the plaintiffs hadn't presented any evidence that age played any role whatsoever in the decision to terminate them. So this case should reinforce the message to employees everywhere: email can still get you fired. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Remember, all that I've said here is merely for your information and entertainment purposes. If you need legal advice, please personally consult with an attorney. For more information on the music you're hearing, check out today's show notes. And as always, feel free to send your comments and suggestions to ebrown@internetcases.com. I hope you'll stop by the site once in a while and add the RSS feed to your news aggregator. I'll talk to you again next Friday.